Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And today at the Boston Public Market, deliciousness.
Tomatoes. Yeah, it's tomato season. You got to try this one. Sun Gold is amazing. Taste of summer.
Absolutely. The taste of summer. That's Andrew Pollock of Silverbrook Farm.
It is the height of farmers market season here in New England. But the question is, what should you buy and how should you cook it? Here's Karen Coughlin of Harlow Farm.
My biggest piece of advice when you're going to a farmer's market is don't come in with preconceived notions about what you're going to cook, because you're going to change it anyway. So I like to just kind of walk around and see what catches my eye and then build off that.
So let whimsy and inspiration guide you. That might work for some, but I have to say, I'm the kind of person that needs a little bit more guidance. So we invited two food experts to talk with us about summer's bounty.
Jody Adams is the James Beard Award-winning chef of Rialto in Harvard Square and Trade in the Seaport District. Welcome.
And thank you.
Oh, it's good to, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Michael Scalfo is chief and chef and owner at Alden and Harlow in Harvard Square. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Chief as well, I would say.
A chief.
Yeah,
chief
yeah,
chef.
I like that.
Is that not like what chef means in French?
It is.
So.
It is.
Well, listeners, we want to hear from you. What are you buying at farmers markets all around the region this summer? What are you cooking with that delicious produce? And what recipes do you want to share? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Chefs, let me start with both of you and just ask you, like, what have you been buying this summer?
Well, anything that's out there. Right now, it's just bursting. Everything's there, from tomatoes to corn to radishes to carrots to greens, eggplants, squashes. It's just the best time of year. And my recommendation is, as the woman who spoke from the market, is just go and buy the most beautiful things that you can and ask the farmer what to do.
Okay, well, we were talking about that a little bit. We said, you know, okay, so we go, we look, we say, terrific, great idea, I'm going to do that. And then I get home and I say, uh-oh, I don't have lemons. Or I don't have a fully stocked pantry to be able to sort of improvise all the time. So give me a little bit of advice.
Well, I went to the farmers, actually Allendale Farm, the farm, yesterday in Brookline, and bought corn and arugula and kale and carrots, and I had some mushrooms. So I just made a big stir fry in celery, a big stir fry, and didn't season it actually with anything, any particular seasoning, because I know that sometimes I want something that tastes Mediterranean. Another, my daughter might want to add soy sauce and sesame oil and, sriracha and things like that. So I sort of leave it open so that you can season as you go.
Michael, what do you do?
Right now, I find myself not doing much because it's all so beautiful and there's also much of it. And, you know, we try, when we cook at home, we really try and not fuss, you know, three kids and we're always on the go. And I really like to leave this stuff alone. I really find that what you find in the market at any given time generally goes really well together. And right now there's, you know, like Jody said, there's stone fruit, there's radishes, all the nightshade stuff. And it all kind of goes beautifully together. And less fuss is even better because you really want to enjoy the stuff at its peak, especially in our very short season here in the Northeast when we have, you know, a very limited opportunity to enjoy it. So less is more.
And, you know, I tried something for the first time this year from a farmer's market, pea tendrils, which
delicious,
I had never done before. But sometimes I'm a little reluctant when I look at these things. How, you know, what kind of advice do you give me? Yes, I can look into something new, and I'm certainly glad I tried them. But what I tend to do is do something simple. Mm-hmm. I'm with the three kids, and you've got to cook, and you've got to do it. And I'm always tomato and basil. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a little tired of tomato and basil.
Yeah.
So give me some advice about saying, okay, come on, be a little more adventurous. Try those pea tendrils. They were really good.
They are. Well, if you think of it, they're green. So how would you cook spinach? Or how would you cook kale? And just take that same approach with the greens. You know, one of the things that shows up in markets, because we have so many Southeast Asian farmers, are are Southeast Asian and Asian vegetables. And in a Mediterranean restaurant like Rialto, an Italian restaurant, we figured out a way to incorporate bok choy into the menu because it's local. It's seasonal. It's from the local farmer.
That's a really good example. We have bok choy on the menu, too. And I think it's just, you know, whatever's there, we grab and we put our own little spin on, and whatever works for us, you know, from a flavor profile or a style is fine. You know, you can take the same philosophy that you do with the tomato and basil and apply it to the peaches and the corn and treat that very simply, and you're going to get great results. You know, you'd be surprised at how well it all works together.
So what do you do with bok choy at Rialto?
We serve it with garlic and ginger and some herbs and grill it or something like that, yeah.
What's a sort of surprising thing that you think maybe a lot of people don't know about where they may be able to diversify their menu this time of year at a farmer's market? Maybe a different kind of corn or something different to do with corn or tomatoes or a green. What's a little trick that you have? I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. You know, that you say, hey, you should try this. This is a staple of mine from years of cooking, and this is really great.
Well, what I've done, I brought a salad.
And, I know, it's beautiful.
And, you know, it was very liberating when I learned that a tomato is actually a fruit, right? So it's wonderful paired with sweeter fruits like grilled peaches or plums or something like that. So spread your, you know, your definition of what should go into a salad or how you should handle a particular ingredient. The other thing is corn, at this point, is almost candy. I mean, it is so sweet. So turn it into a custard and serve it with peaches or serve it with something like that. So, you know, do a little back and forth.
Can we just stop for a second and say that, yes, when Jody Adams says she's brought a salad, she has. And it looks like artwork in the middle of our table here. Okay, and let me move my computer so I can see it. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's in it? That's you've got burrata there.
Local burrata.
Yeah.
And then some arugula from the farm, nasturtium flowers from the farm. You can eat nasturtium flowers and their leaves, which are really peppery and delicious. Little cherry tomatoes, grilled peaches, and I made a pesto with mint and basil. The other thing is, I think it's really important to talk about bounty. Like when you have so much, you don't know what to do with, you know, what's in your fridge. If you have a ton of herbs and they're starting to turn a little bit, just turn them all into basil. Pesto. It doesn't have to be just basil. It can be mint, parsley. Huh. Anything.
Okay, I'm going to let you do the talking, Deb, because I want to do eating, okay? Hold on.
Well, I'd like to take some callers, if we could, because we are asking folks, share your recipes with us. Share your stories of Farmer's Market Bounty with us. We have Caroline from Indianapolis, who's a student in Boston. She's on the line. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just wanted to say that I like to take some fresh peaches, apricots, whatever is in the farmer's market, and throw it in with a little bit of almond milk just on the stove, and then kind of just let it saute. Mix in some coconut sugar and spices like nutmeg, cinnamon, and it's a super good dessert, served perfect with vanilla bean ice cream. Slightly healthy.
Sounds.
You want to steal that one, should I steal that
you
one?
You can take that.
Delicious. We want to say, listeners, if you have a recipe to share with us or you want to talk about or ask a question to our chefs, Jody Adams, who is the James Beard Award-winning chef at Rialto and Harvard Square and Trade in Boston Seaports District. Also, Michael Skelfo is with us. He's chef and owner at Alden and Harlow in Harvard Square. If you'd like to talk with them, ask them a question, or share your recipes with us, our number is 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And let's talk about what Caroline just told us about her dessert recipe with all the fresh fruit this time of year. Michael, what do you think?
I think you can't go wrong. It sounds like a great idea. It's simple, it's focused, and I love the idea of using the almond milk with the fruit. I think, you know, we have several dishes that we've nuts kind of everywhere on our menu right now, and the nuts go beautifully with stone fruit, with a lot of different fruits. So that's a great call, and I love the little addition of coconut as well, too. It's a nice touch.
And you talked about Magna's eating.
I know. I'm so sorry. I was like 100 miles off mic because I really wanted to try all this.
We talked about, you said, Jody, you said corn is like candy right now. But you know what I'm noticing are different varieties that I haven't heard of before and names that I'm not familiar with. What do you recommend in terms of what's the best type of corn to buy right now. And there's a debate going on, at least in my family, about steaming versus boiling versus different ways of cooking
versus
or whether
doing
you should
nothing,
versus eating it raw. What do you suggest?
The freshest corn, the better. Verrill Farm has a huge selection of corn, and I would that's where the corn that I'm using comes from, and they really know their corn. So, and they're, I think they're all pretty sweet, frankly.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah. And then in terms of cooking, that's really, I remember somebody telling me that their father always did half milk, half water, bring it up to a boil, put the corn in, let it sit for a half a day, and it's perfect. You know, somebody else wraps it in paper towel and does it in the microwave, and it's perfect. I think whatever you like doing, if you have a fire going on, a grill outside, either take the husks off and get a nice char mark on it, or I like to just grill the whole thing in the husk, and it steams, and it's much easier to get all the silk out afterwards. There are also tricks for getting the silk out that I can never remember what they are. Michael, do you know what the tricks are?
I think there's some YouTube videos that you can find. But I agree, I think grilling and roasting is definitely, I think, my go-to move right now when it comes to any kind of vegetables. I love dry heat on any kind of vegetable that comes out of the marketplace because it really, as opposed to steaming, or boiling or anything like that, what it really does is develop the sugars in whatever you're eating and caramelization, and that is really what's going to develop depth of flavor and character in those vegetables. And I would say throw as many as you can on, you know, the best-selling dish at Alden and Harlow is grilled broccoli that we just toss in olive oil, salt, and pepper and throw on the grill. And it's shockingly simple, but it's, you know, it's one of those things where people get that flavor profile and they're not used to it. You know, another thing I would suggest to people to do is, and something we're doing at the restaurant right now that I would really encourage, is buy the stuff that's not perfect. Look for the stuff that they don't have that's not perfect. Buy some bruised tomatoes. You know, buy some rough-looking greens. You can do stuff with that. The farmers need to sell it. You usually get it at a much better price. And we're having fun at the restaurant right now buying those kind of ugly-looking things and developing them into dishes at the restaurant. And you'd be surprised at how much you can get out of that. And let's not waste the stuff. You can buy as much of it as you can.
Is it too early to start thinking about pickling and
you want to pickle it when it's fresh.
You do. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a call here. Yeah. Rick is calling from Vineyard Haven. You're on the air, Rick.
Hi. I'm a private cook on Martha's Vineyard, and I just wanted to share a recipe that's kind of a take on scallops wrapped in bacon. And it's a lobster chunks, and you wrap it with a little compound butter and wrap it in prosciutto.
Mm. Delicious.
Okay, we're coming over, Rick.
The next fairy. Thanks so much for your call, Rick. That sounds delicious. How about Marlena, who's calling from Watertown? You're on the air, Marlena.
Hi. Just wanted to share a childhood memory. I'm from Peru, South America, and my grandmother used to harvest all her tomatoes, and I used to love watching her make marmalade, tomato marmalade. It was delicious. I don't remember the recipe, but I do remember it was just a simple recipe that she used, and it was great. We would put it on, you know, toast, on, you know, a corn cake.
So it was sweet.
All kinds of things.
It was sweet.
Yes, it was sweet. Hmm. It was very the marmalade. Yeah, it was great.
I'm seeing two chefs here shake their
heads. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. It sounds great.
Tomato jam.
Yeah.
It sounds delicious.
Spicy tomato
jam. Now, Michael, I understand that at Alden and Harlow, you have these whole garden dinners.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're actually, tonight we're doing Sienna Farms, and every Wednesday we feature a different farm. I started doing them last year because we've only been open a year and a half, but we did like six or seven of them last year. We bring in a different farm, and then whatever we can get from that particular farm, we feature on, you know, a 4 to a 6 course dinner just based on whatever we can get from them. We kicked it off this year by doing it at Landsake Farm in Weston, Mass, which was a beautiful night. We had a great time doing it out there, just kind of cooking on the farm. And this year we broadened our horizons a little bit in the sense that we're using different kind of artisans. So we did a Formaggio kitchen dinner last week. Mm. We're doing an Island Creek oyster dinner. And it's really a great thing because what we do is we usually bring someone in from the farm. They get to sit with the guests. They're very intimate. They're maybe 10 to 12, 14 people tops. The chefs interact, you know, with the guests, you know, and it's kind of up in our greenhouse area, which is kind of a nice under a skylight at the front of the restaurant. And it's a nice setting, and it's a great way to feature what people are doing and working really hard here in the state and in the Northeast to provide us with. So it's kind of fun, and it's really exciting for the kitchen to get kind of a mystery basket, and we write a menu, and we put on a little dinner for everybody, and they've been really successful. We're really happy doing them.
Right, great. So you get a mystery basket, and you just say, okay, how can we be most creative here?
It's not as much a mystery now because there's so, like Chef said, there's so much available right now. But what we usually do is we get a call or an email, and we find out what's coming out of it, and they're going to say, hey, this is what we got for you guys coming on Tuesday, and then we write a menu based on that, and that's pretty much what we do.
Good. Mm-hmm. We have lots of calls. Callers who want to get in on this conversation, and I think we're going to go first to Jessica, who is calling from Roslindale because she's looking for a bit of advice. Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi. We have a backyard garden in Roslindale, and we're growing delicious carrots with beautiful greens, and I was wondering if you had advice on what to do with all the carrot greens.
Pesto, mm-hmm. Carrot top pesto.
Yeah, carrot top pesto.
Okay, tell us how to make it.
Make pesto with carrot
tops.
So,
is it carrot tops, olive oil, pine nuts?
I would just blanch it. Do you blanch it?
I've done it both ways. Usually we do raw.
Raw. And then, and is it just traditional pesto? So we're talking olive oil, we're talking pine nuts,
we're talking cheese, nuts, lemon, olive
any
oil.
Any kind of nut?
A little bit of anchovy maybe for a mm-hmm. little bit of depth and a little umami, something like that. Nice amount of acid. And then grill the carrots and just roll the carrots around in the carrot top pesto. It's a beautiful way to serve them.
Okay. Carrot top
it's a
pesto.
Whole carrot meal.
Exactly. Why not?
That is another potential recipe. We also have Daniel, who is calling from Somerville. I believe he has a recipe as well. Daniel, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
What are you making with farmers market stuff at this time of year?
Well, my easiest recipe that I have from the farmer's market is massage kale salad. There's not an elephant kale or like the better ones because they're already a little bit softer, I guess. But then you just pick it up in the pieces, put some salt on it, some cider vinegar is what I use, and then some olive oil, and just squeeze it between your fingers for about 2 to 3 minutes. And it breaks down, like the salt lacerates the cells, and, you know, the oil like makes it softer, and the vinegar gets in there, and it's just a great way to like use a base for a salad.
Always massage your vegetables.
Yes.
Always.
Sounds delicious.
And your cooks. And your cooks.
Okay, we've only got about a minute left. Give us sort of a last overriding bit of advice. So use the seconds. Don't forget about them. They may not look
absolutely.
So great, but they're really delicious.
Absolutely.
It's not too early to pickle.
No, it's not. No, and this is the time to pickle.
This is prime time
to
pickle.
Yeah, don't forget to pickle.
And make pesto.
And also, when you have fruit that looks like it's on its way out, or even if there is a big box of it at the market, buy it and make jam.
Okay. Jody Adams, James Beard award-winning chef of Rialto, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. This is a treat. It's nice to get out of the kitchen.
Thanks for that beautiful salad as well. Michael Scalfo, chef and owner at Alden and Harlow in Harvard Square, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
For a link to Jody's blog for home cooks and to Boston Farmers Markets, you can go to our website, radioboston.org.
Well, stay with us when we come back. A surprising story about a historic performance at Harvard Stadium. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.